You guys want to be in on a selfie? That's good. Smile. I don't ever want to forget this day. So, you guys look great, by the way. Although, I think some of you could use a haircut. I've been working on that one for a month. I need to say some things. You can turn to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, but I need to mention a few things before we get there. Just as far as those that have served and served so well, I want to say hello, too, to our group down in the gym. It's great to have you guys here as well. And I appreciate you being willing to be there and to allow others to be here. I want to thank, first of all, the worship team. An amazing job they've done for us. Kurt and Brittany, Pastor Wes, Katie, Becky, Sam, Ben, Krista, Joseph, George. They have been here. It's extremely difficult to preach and to lead a congregation when that congregation you cannot see. So I appreciate what they've done. They get here early. They practice hard, and it's been beautiful. We've had so many compliments to their ministry. And we thank God for them. So really appreciate it, you guys. Wanted to mention that. That's an amen to the Lord. That's an amen to the Lord. And to each of you who have encouraged us, you don't know how much that's meant to us. It's helped us along. And your encouragement to each other has been huge. You know, when you make those comments online, positive comments, whatever, those are a big help to us. So I want to say thanks. Just want to say thanks. And I have to tell you, it is such a joy to be here with you guys today. And really, again, appreciate this moment in time that God has given us. And for that, we give Him praise. If you would, you're there, Hebrews 10. Turn to Hebrews 10 if you're not. Hebrews 10, I want to look at verses 19 through 25, and then we'll get into the text. Let me read it. We're going to ask God His special blessing on our time together, and then we will walk our way through this scripture. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Your love and Your grace to us. It is indeed amazing grace, and it is a love that is over the top, unexplainable, and beyond comprehension. Thank You that You sent Your one and only beloved Son, Jesus, to die in our place, to take our sin. As our sin bearer, Your wrath was poured out, and He paid the penalty for sin. Thank You that He not only took that punishment, but as He said He was going to do, on the third day He rose again in triumph. And we, through faith, have access to You. We have a relationship with You that is right, that is good, wherein we are assured of heaven and assured of Your presence here and assured of Your help in carrying us through. Father, as we come before You, these last couple months have been very challenging to us. But for many others, they've been even more challenging. There are those who have lost loved ones, those who have been impacted greatly by this virus. And so for our brothers and sisters and those across the world, those in this state who are grieving, who are hurting, we lift them before You. We thank You that You have spared to this point anyone that we know of in this congregation from contacting that virus. And we pray that would remain the same, and that this would go away, and that we would never forget the privilege it is to live life and to live with freedom and to live having the pleasure of assembling together. We thank You for that. Father, we lift up our leaders before You. You have You have allowed them into the positions that they have. And I pray that they would be looking to you for wisdom. Help us to respond to our brothers and sisters as we should. And Father, this has caused a lot of concern among your people. And so we pray wherever we're at in the process of understanding this, of working our way through it, that you would be glorified and you would work in our hearts and we would be loving and kind and gracious to all. Father, there are many churches opening their doors today. Next week will be the same. The following week will be the same. I pray that you would stir the church in this state, in the UP, in America, to again look to you, to be serious about their walk with Christ, and to understand, Father, that our days are limited. And you have placed us, through faith in Christ, within a body, within a family of believers. And that is the focal point of what you're doing here on earth right now. And we want to be the people that are on fire for you, walking with you. So I pray, Father, wherever we are today in our relationship with you, that you would grow us, that you would work into our hearts that which you would please to do. Father, for my brothers and sisters here, for Bark River Bible Church, all who call this their home, we thank you for each of them. We praise you. Grow us. Speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I had intended to preach this sermon 2 months ago, but then things changed. And it was like a Thursday or so when we saw kind of what was happening with this pandemic and what needed to be done, that I switched over to a series called A Pandemic of Fear, preached out of Matthew 6 that first Sunday. And so we've been on that trail, and I didn't think probably assembling together this text would fit 2 months ago, but it fits today. This is part of a series, if I can remember the name of the series, Under Further Review. You guys remember that, right? It's been like a long time ago, but this is part of this series. But I thought it was so appropriate for today. And so that's where we're at today. It's one that I've desired to preach for a long time. It touches me deeply. It has to do with the body of Christ, the local church collectively. The subject that we're thinking about today is what we've done today. We are assembling, and that's that we've come together for corporate worship. That's what this text is about. The church needs you, and you need the church. We need to be together. We are understanding that in a greater way. There's a clear mandate in the Word of God concerning that. This face-to-face, in-person, spur each other on to good works and encourage each other in their walk with Christ, togetherness. That's what we need. But why? Why should I faithfully attend is the question we're considering this morning. And in this text, I've noted four reasons. There are many more. But I've noted four reasons that our habit should be one of faithful attendance. The first one is this, because of the pattern. In verse 23, it says, "Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." And then it goes on in verse 25, "not forsaking our assembling together." And so this pattern has been set forth before us. The foundation has been laid for us to consider assembling. Okay, so for 10 chapters here in this tremendous book of Hebrews, the Christology of this magnificent book has been brought forth. 10 chapters, the writer has set before the reader the greatness and magnificence of the one we call Lord. The Holy Spirit again and again has given us truth upon truth upon truth concerning Jesus Christ. That first chapter is an amazing chapter. I won't turn back there. But here we have the idea here is that he is above all. He's Lord. So Jesus Christ is the substance, the new and living way. In light of who Jesus Christ is, that's where the writer's going. In light of who he is and what he's done, is there practical application for me as a follower of Christ? Well, there is in many ways. One of those ways is what we're concerning today. That is faithfully attending your local church, faithfully attending here. So the Word of God answers this question. about responding to the Lord with absolute certainty. And this pattern was set forth by the early church. They were constantly meeting together. If you watch the history of the church, you'll see that. Just a constant meeting together. There's a sense of awe, a sense of love, a sense of oneness, a sense of unity, a sense of community, a sense of fellowship as they lived in close association and dependence upon one another. And that's what we're doing. That's what we've missed. See, this gathering together. But the church, the early church, they were all over this and they did it right. A few scriptures to help us with that. The church begins in Acts 2, as you know. The day of Pentecost, Peter preaches an amazing message. 3,000 individuals come to faith in Christ. And it says this about them in Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They're together. That's the idea here. It's continued. They're together. They're with one another. Verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. Again, you see that. They're together. They're together. They're together. It just rolls on. In verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, you see that fellowship, that togetherness. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. You just see the local church, the early church, the first century church. They're together. They're for meals, any excuse to be together, they were there. But they were getting something from that. I have to tell you, coming together as a body of Christ, you guys may not know this, but you minister to me greatly. Just you being here, just for me to see you, and you minister to each other. That's what they were doing. Acts 5:41 and 42. So they went on their way from the presence of the council. They'd been beaten and so forth, rejoicing that they'd been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So you see, and there's many, many more verses. Acts 20, verse 7, you see it there as well. On the first day of the week, when we had gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them. And you see, we had gathered together. They're together, intending to leave the next day and so forth. But again, you see them the first day of the week. It's called the Lord's Day. We gather on the first day of the week. Why? He's risen. That's the day He rose again. That's why we gather together. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. We look to Him. And so the early church was all over it. And they set this example of being together day after day, whenever they could. The Christian life is never to be lived in isolation. It's not that. We come together. We sharpen iron as iron sharpens iron. So that happens. We're together. And that's what we're called to do. And it continues to this day. The Bible compares believers to sheep. Sheep are not loners. They do best in flocks. They do. They're communal. The early church came together for prayer, for the word, for fellowship, for the breaking of bread, the Lord's table. And you know what? Over 2,000 years later, we're still gathering on the Lord's Day. That pattern's been set for us, a model to follow. And we have this opportunity in our day. Someone has said, don't wait for a hearse to take you to church. And I would agree. You know, there are going to be some that are listening online today that, you know, they've been heard or they've struggled or they don't like this or that. Perhaps that's some of our people as well. You know, we are imperfect, right? We're an imperfect body. We all are broken. We all have needs. But we must extend grace and love and forgiveness. Church is hard. It's hard. We're offended at times. We offend others at times. But it's a family. And you can't just walk away. And I would encourage you to check your heart as it comes to loving others and the grace you need to extend to others. I was reminded, and I've mentioned this, but I was reminded during these past 8 weeks, I only have so many Sundays. I only have so many opportunities on this side of heaven. I don't want to waste those. I want to be together with God's people. I was talking to an individual over the past week or so. He has some health issues in his life, and he's older than I, and he would go out and minister here and minister there, And his daughter, in her 20s, said, Dad, I don't like this. What if you get sick? What if you die? His response was, you know what? I need to be doing, and I love to be doing what I'm doing. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to do what I can, why I can, for the glory of the Lord. Our hearts need to be there. So the pattern is set. The early church set that pattern. So we need to faithfully assemble because of that. But also, we need to faithfully assemble because of obedience. Look at verse 25 again. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God calls us to assemble. The Lord knows exactly what we need to hear. He knows that. These words, forsaking the assembling, is as is the matter of some, were given to believers that we might know God's thought on this issue. Does this matter to God? Yeah, it does. This matters to the Lord. He's into this. He knows what you and I need. He knows we need to be together. He knows we need to assemble. And so He calls us to that. His thoughts here are not vague. They're not arguable. They don't leave us wondering what His will is. We know what He's saying to us, right? We see it. God calls us to it. We're exhorted to respond to the call of Almighty God to assemble. Now, it's interesting. Already in the early church, this is written to first century believers, already they have some that are forsaking, he says, as is the matter of some. So that's happening. There's a habit here, he notes, as is the habit of some. Habit has the idea of manner or practice. This is a spiritual battle taking place in the life of the believer. Some of them were losing that battle. You and I can find every excuse not to attend. Everybody can do that. But we need to be careful there. We need to understand that this is important. It's important to God that we assemble. All of us face this temptation. It wouldn't be easier to stay home. I don't have to deal with anyone. I don't have to hear that. There's someone that really rubs me raw in that church. On and on. We can make all those excuses. But the church, I want to remind you, is the body of Christ. It's His bride. Satan hates the church because he hates God. Therefore, he hates His Son. Therefore, he hates God's people. So it is that he is actively involved to pull people away from assembling together. We can make excuses. I've not written the excuses down that I've heard over the years, but I've heard a lot of them. And most of them are simply excuses. He calls us to assemble. He calls us to attend faithfully because we need that. Others need that in you. So God calls us to it, and we must do it. That's what I'm saying. We must do it. Attending services is seen by, faithfully attending local church services is seen by many today as an option to an otherwise busy weekend. Are you hearing me? That's how it's often seen today. They'll give excuse for not being here. For the most part, they're just excuses. Some have merit. Some do. Some have merit. There may be physical, health, whatever. Things come up. I get that. But most of the time, they're just excuses. So in thinking through that, what are some of the excuses or things where we would say, okay, I know this weekend, but... And so attending church really on a list is kind of, instead of being at the top of the list on a weekend, it's kind of moved down, depending on sporting events, hobbies, busyness, other opportunities. And so, you know, instead of that, instead of, okay, I'll attend that instead of go to church, it should always be, I can't attend that because I'm going to the Lord's house. It should always be that. And we've kind of slid away from there, and it's a common thing. But listen, I'm calling you back today. God's Word is calling us back today to think about this. We must do it. I came across a quote some time ago. R.T. Robertson says about missing the assembling together, he says it is a perilous habit. It's a perilous habit. Because once you start down that trail, it gets harder and harder then to get back into the habit of being here. This, if you go that direction, you set yourself up, I believe, for a train wreck down the road. Apathy today has filled the church. Too many have set aside. Bark River Bible Church should not be able to have only, or should, Bark River Bible Church should not be able to have just one service, because if there everybody that ought to be here was here, when we all get back together, we couldn't hold the people that should be here. And that's true of every church in America. We've all got our excuses. But God says assemble. And we need to do that. We need to do that faithfully because He's worthy. When you attend an event, think of this, such as a birthday party, some kind of celebration, you are putting worth on that individual or that event. When we assemble, we are putting worth on the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. When you attend, that's what you're saying. You're holding fast. You're saying, we've got great hope. Not only that, you're saying that the one who promised, who is faithful, you're saying he is worthy. He is worthy. He has worth. He has worth. So he says here, the writer reminds us something about God, that he is faithful. We sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. When we thought about this Sunday, one of the things that I said is the first thing we must sing when we get back together is, great is your faithfulness. We have to do that because he is faithful. Faithful, faithful. You know, you can look back on someone's life if you know them well. And if you look back on your own life, you can say, I've been pretty faithful, but I've not always been faithful. God has always been faithful. We praise His great name. He's worthy. So is His Son, who died and rose again. He's Lord of Lords. And that's what I want to mention to you right now about Jesus. When we come together to worship, He is our focal point. He's the Lord of glory. He's God in the flesh, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's worthy of our praise. He's our Lord. We worship Him. So let's remember for a moment, He is the God-man, the great agent of creation. The Word became flesh. We see who this is. Jesus dwelled among us as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Agent of creation. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by Him all things were created. Image there in verse 15, exact replica. He represents the Father. He's Lord, Lord of all. Colossians 1, 15 and 16. We note as well that He is not only Lord of all, He's died for us. He holds all things together by the word of His power. That's good to remember, isn't it? You know, we've been through a crazy point in history. We're not done with it yet. And we wonder what's around the next, what's going to be next. What's this look like? Jesus. He holds all things together, but He upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1:3. Remember that. He's the one we worship. He's the one we come together for as we worship together. He's the one, friends. He's the one who one day all men will bow to. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. For this reason also, the reason that God highly exalts Him is because He went to the cross. It says, God highly exalted Him, bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a day of reckoning coming for every man. This is where we need to understand the gospel, that Jesus came and died for you, that He took your sin upon Himself, that you have a great need. You have a great need because you're not perfect before God. You're sinful. Jesus paid the penalty for that sin. He died. He rose again in triumph. Whoever will call on His name will be saved. Do you know Him? Well, this is the thing about Jesus. He's going to stand, everyone's going to stand before Him one day. Revelation 20, verse 11. Saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. That's the power of our Lord Jesus. No place was found for them. So there's that great white throne judgment. The unbelieving dead will be resurrected, stand before Jesus in Revelation 20. Look at Revelation 22, 3 and 4. Can't wait for this. There will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His bondservants will serve Him. They will see His face. And His name will be on their foreheads. We get to see Jesus one day. He'll make everything new. No more death. No dying. No pandemics. None of that. We'll one day get to see Him. This is the one we worship, friends. We come together and we say, He is worthy. His worth exceeds all other things, and we worship Him. We will worship, by the way. Everyone's a worshiper. We'll worship what we fear, what we reverence. We need to fear and reverence the Lord. I encourage you guys to sing this morning. This thing about heaven. When we think about Him being worthy, when we think about His worth, His faithfulness, that He is Lord, this is a view into heaven. Revelation 5, 9 through 12. Here's some worship. They sang a new song saying, "Worthy are You," about Jesus, "to take the book and break its seals, for You were slain and purchased for God with Your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads, thousands of thousands. What a scene. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He's worthy. And it is that we should sing loud. When we sing, this is not a time when you're singing in church for your inside voices. No. This is a time to let it rip for the glory of God. Excuse that. Let it go. For His name's sake. Sing it for all you're worth. We've come a ways with that. We've not yet arrived. It's going to be, I believe, the singing in heaven will blow us away, and there's going to be volume. It's going to be on high. Lastly, we need to faithfully attend because it is wise. Okay, there's wisdom here. Listen, it is wise. It is wise. I cannot tell you all the blessings that are ours when we faithfully attend church. From being loved, being forgiven, helped by others, an opportunity to enjoy life in the body of believers. All that goes out the door. You can't even minister. You know, we're called to minister to one another here. What happens in a building as we assemble can't be replicated. And we miss out on all these things we're called to here in this 10th chapter. We hold out in expressing that we're holding fast in verse 23 to our confession of faith. We can't say it in the way we can say it here, that He is faithful. Verse 24, it says, "Stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That's difficult outside the body. It happens some, but not like it can happen here. And you can't assemble if you're not assembling. You miss that. You know what has happened here this morning? There's encouragement that you are going to take from here. You will have gained some courage by being here. That can't happen to the degree and outside that it happens here. And so these are all reasons to come together. There's blessings, blessings, blessings. And God pours those out. Been some positives to what has happened with this forcing us to go live stream and so forth. Our outreach has been way, way, way beyond what we could ever do in this building. And there's some positives there, but there's nothing like what has happened here this morning. And if the Lord tarries, what will happen next week? You can't replicate that outside of these doors. So the blessings of being together, person to person, the way God intended, is life-changing. It gives us strength. It gives us courage. We are together as a family. And that's the way God has intended it. And I need to say this, being on fire for the Lord, I've never met someone that's on fire for Christ who is not plugged in to a local church. I've never met them. Here is where God refines. Here is where God grows. Here is where we get stretched. God will put someone in your life, in a local body, that's really going to stretch you in your love and your grace. I've been in the body of Christ, served a long time. God always has someone in my life that I'm like, oh no, I don't want to take this call. I don't want to take this call. Why? Because I need that. See? And so do you. It's part of our refining. It's part of growing like Christ. So there's blessings here. There's blessings to assembly. It's wise to do so. And there's protection. When you faithfully attend church, you open yourself up to being blessed by the Lord. You do. There's a pattern that's become crystal clear to me. If an individual begins to withdraw from the body of Christ, they're opening themselves up for the deception of the devil. I'll remind you this morning, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who's he looking for? He's not looking for the lost. He has them. He's looking for Christians, those who claim the name of Christ. And friends, he finds them. And if you withdraw from the body, if you separate yourself, I want you to know that's a place where you become prey for the enemy. So spiritually speaking, we become vulnerable to being the devil's prey. We need to assemble. We need to assemble. It's the pattern of the early church. We need to assemble out of obedience. We need to assemble because he's worthy. We need to assemble because it's just flat out wise. I don't know where you're at in your commitment to Christ and your commitment to assembling. Those that are listening, I don't know where you're at. But it's worth looking again to that consideration. God calls us to come together. And it may be that as you've come together today, this message strikes your heart. And there are things that you need to get right with God as you're thinking about the body, as you're working through as a family doing life together. Maybe it is that there's somebody here that you need to get right with. Maybe you've spoken ill of someone here. Maybe it is you've been offended and you need to go in grace and minister to that person and allow that door to be open for reconciliation. You can't do life in the body of Christ without being kind and graceful and forgiving. And we're called to do that. Be tenderhearted, to be kind and forgiving. And we've started back. Maybe today would be a great day to get that right. If God moves in your heart that way, do it. If you're here without Christ today, we'd urge you on to become a family member, to trust Christ as Savior. The Scripture says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're trusting in anything other than the one who's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who's coming again. Do you see that in the Scripture as well? It says in verse 25, we assemble all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to get his bride. His bride will be here. And when we come together, we think of that. But if you've never trusted Christ, trust him today. What a great day that would be. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of a local church. Thank you for loving us and being gracious to us and kind. I pray your hand of blessing on all those that are here today, all those that are listening. Would you minister strongly to them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.